that this is week 10 of this series. I've never done a 10-week series. And we pulled it off. Here we are. 10 weeks of the miracles of Jesus according to Mark. And so, week 10, guess what chapter in Mark? Please join me in Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at that this morning. I personally was able to just meet three people. Today's your first time in the room, in this one. And thank you for being here. And this is a series that we've been working through where we're looking at the instantaneous things, the things that Jesus does. He just walks up and instantly and things happen. Now, the series title is Let's Go to the Roof. And that's actually out of Mark chapter 2. And that's a story that many would be aware of. Crowd, Jesus in the house. Four guys have a friend that they want to have a healing. He needs a healing. They take this guy. They climb. It's not as crazy as it might be going through your roof, right? So they climb up along the side. A lot of folks lived up on the roof of the home, slept up there. Move some thatch back, drop the guy down. But they push through some things. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, not the dude, not the guy that was sick, he saw their faith. And that's the whole idea. That was the push, the prod, the nudge, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit that we who believe, we who know who he is. A couple of weeks ago, I was preaching and I did a little parable story about the 23rd Psalm. And one person quoted the 23rd Psalm was a great orator. Another one was a preacher and he quoted it. When the orator quoted it, everyone cheered. When the preacher quoted it, everyone cried. And it was the orator in the parable who says, I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd. And that's the difference. And those of us that know the shepherd, it is our privilege. Not just our obligation. Not just our reasonable service, as the scripture might call it. But our privilege. To come alongside people and walk with them to the feet of the master and set them there. And he may not see their faith because they may not have it. Do you ever think about that? Folks with great need don't necessarily have great faith. They have great need. We come alongside with great faith and bring people to him. What an outstanding privilege to be that conduit. To literally be hands and feet to move folks toward Jesus. So today, we wrap this up. I need to give honor to Brian and Arnick and Bo. You guys partnered with me during this series. The preaching was fantastic. The ministry was fantastic. God directed me to ask you guys and you knocked her out of the park. You let the Lord work through you. So thank you. Thank you for that. This morning, we're going to look, as I said, Mark chapter 10. Let's hit it. Jesus then left that place, and he went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, as was his custom. He taught them. Now, some Pharisees came, and they tested him by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? He replies, and they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. And Jesus says, it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they're no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Some of us in our wedding ceremonies heard, therefore what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Yeah. When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this, and he answers, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. So that's the opener. That's the opener of our context today. Spoiler alert, the miracle is the last story in the chapter. There's a whole context to what's going on here. Next, we're going to talk about little children and Jesus. Verse 13, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the, who did? The, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. The disciples. Nope, sorry. The disciples rebuked them. Amazing. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Jesus was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I wonder if that means receive the kingdom of God as a child would, or receive the kingdom of God like you receive a little child. How's our receiver? He took the children in his arms. Can you picture that? How fantastic is that? He's just like, you know, like up and like on his head and hanging around. He's got in his arms. He takes the children, places his hands on them, blesses them. All right, let's transition from we did divorce. We did kids aren't accepted in Jesus' presence. We figured that out. Now we're going to do the rich and the kingdom of God. Verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the greatest of all time looks at him and he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he interrupts him. He goes, teacher. And he declares it. It's a declaration. All these I have kept since I was a boy. Have you ever had an experience with someone and they ask you a question so that they can tell you a story? You ever had that? They showed up to the conversation prepared to tell you a story and they asked you a question. And then you defer to them, and then they have something that they showed up to say. This old boy showed up, ran, found Jesus, showed up with the intention, happy about it, to tell him, hey, what is it that I need to do? He knew. He knew because he did it. And then when Jesus tells him, he's like, you know what? Come to think of it, I've done all those since I was a boy. Jesus looks at him, and this is beautiful. What's it say? He looked at him and he loved him. He loved him. And while loving him, he said, one thing you lack. I've talked to people about acceptance. Acceptance and belonging is a big deal here. It's a big deal in this church. Acceptance and belonging and community. And we know that everyone is seeking that. When I've talked to folks, I said, do you believe that Jesus loves you? Everybody so far said yes. Question number two is, do you think he's okay with everything you're doing? So far, everybody said no. And then I ask a third question. Well, then would you like to reconsider your answer to question one? Because there is a lie going about that says, I have to be okay with everything you do in order to love you. And if I say I love you, but I'm not okay with everything you do, then I don't love you. To which I usually reply to people, we have found a different problem here. We have unearthed a different situation. You see, you can love as Jesus loves. And you can look somebody right in the face. And that's what we say in the lobby. Jesus is the way. Everything else is a conversation. Because it is a conversation where you sit with someone and you're like, hey, I love you. Totally love you. And what you're doing, that's not going to get you where you want to go. And I love you. And I'm telling you because I love you. And if you do it, I love you. And if you don't do it, I still love you. But that's not going to get you where you want to go. And then he looks at this old boy. None of us, could any of us say that? This dude is a rock star. Could any of us, before God Almighty, and we'll all step back for the lightning bolt, right? That you would come up and say, nope, kept all the commandments, all 10. Never coveted a thing. What? And you know what? Jesus doesn't say, you're taking yourself a little too seriously, son. He doesn't say, well, that's not true. Come on now, let's get real. No, no, no. He says, fine, you did all those, but one thing you lack, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And I'll tell you something about these banners. These are our mission goals here at this church because they're God's mission goals from Exodus 6. Salvation, freedom, redemption. He was doing this with Moses. I figure he's still kind of into this. So that's why we're just joining what he's doing. But let me tell you something. That blue banner is so free. That blue banner is so paid for. Salvation is so free. It costs you nothing. It is so free. That's the hardest part about it. The hardest part about salvation is how free it is. And if you have a problem with that, then the green banner will cost you everything. Because that is the discipleship piece. The freedom and discipleship part. Salvation is free. And discipleship costs you everything. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus chased him down. Oh, no, he didn't chase him down. That was just an editorial so you can understand me. I'll chase you down if Jesus tells me to chase you down. If he doesn't tell me to chase you down, I'm going to tell you the truth. We're going to have that conversation. And I'm going to love you all the way. I'm going to love you as you walk away sad. I'm going to love you. Jesus looks around. He says to his disciples, how hard is it? How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Can we look at 27? I'd even encourage you to read it with me. Jesus looks at them to the question, who then can be saved? What does he say? With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. That's exciting, yeah. All things. You're going to need this. Hold on to that thought. You're going to need this in about 20 minutes. You're going to need to know that all things, salvation. Who's too far? Nobody. Nobody's too far. Whatever you did yesterday, whatever you came in here, whatever sin you came in here smelling like, not too far for him. He walks up to lepers and touches them when he doesn't even have to. He grabs these kids and picks them up and carries them around, hugs them and loves them. Remember, with God, all things are possible. And that's not just about some healing or provision. It's talking about who can be saved. There is no one in this room too far away. There will never be anyone walking this room too far away. And that is one of the reasons my hope for you as a believer, those of you that would call yourself a believer, my hope for you is that when you get in your car, if you have family with you and you get in your car together, I hope on Sundays you get in your car and you look at each other after church, you get in a car and you look over and you're like, did you see all the messed up people in there? I hope that's what you say. I hope you look over each other. Did you see all the dysfunction in that room? Did you see all the hard life living that we saw in that space? Because people are in this space looking for salvation, looking for freedom, looking for purpose. And you know what? This is the right space. I just want to be in the room. This is the right place. And we celebrate that. Because I'll tell you what, you should never sit on the front row, dude. It's bad. You get picked on. I'm thinking about myself. This is my 33-year cleaned-up self. How long have you been a follower, believer? This is Ron's 23-year cleaned up look. I'm going to go out on a little limb here. Say 25 years ago, it might have been a different look. Isn't that right, buddy? Are you hearing my heart? You are seeing our cleaned up self. You are seeing our cleaned up selves. 2-3 decades of God working through us and working on us and working in us. That's what you're seeing. You go back to 1990 for me. You go back 25 years for Ron. We're the ones that people would go in there and go into church and go, did you see those screwed up people? Woo! I had one man look at me. In fact, he was my pastor and ultimately became my father in the gospel. He sat next to me one time. He said, you're the hardest hearted person I've ever met. I've been in ministry for 30 years and you are the hardest hearted person I've ever met. And my hard-hearted self said, yeah, well, you know, I was just like, whatever. That's how broken. That's how calloused. Jesus is this Savior, and he can take every one of us, make us new. I love it. Peter speaks up. He says, we've left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you, no one who's left home, brothers and sisters, mother, father, children, feels for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes and brothers and sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, parenthetic note, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Then Jesus predicts his death. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Disciples are astonished, and while those who followed were afraid, Jesus took the 12 aside and he told them what was going to happen to him. He said, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They're going to condemn him to death, going to hand him over to the Gentiles, who are going to mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. 3 days later, he's going to rise. Jesus just gives these guys his future, and the disciples come up with another stellar moment. Verse 35. Right after that, following that, Jesus took a breath, and they're like, hey, James and John, sons of Zebedee, they come to him and go, hey, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. These guys, wow, if you study the disciples, it should get every single person hope, right? Every single person should have hope. He says, well, what do you want me to do for you? They reply, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. Let's do that. That's what we want. We want to sit at the right and left hand of power and authority, your throne. Well, they're off base again. You know, I read this on Monday. I read the whole chapter on Monday. And you know what struck me? The miracle is about a blind guy. But what struck me is this entire chapter is filled with quite a few blind people. But only one seemed to know it. He says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Well, we can, they answered. Okay? Jesus says, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. And when the turn of the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus calls them together. He says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay. 46. We're finally at the miracle. All of that is important for what I'm going to preach to you today. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus. So you may know this already, but my son, his name is John. He goes by Chip, but biblically his name would be Bar Andrew. Bar meaning son of. So son of Timaeus, Bar Timaeus. He was sitting by the roadside begging. So this dude is out there, he's blind, he's begging, sitting on the side of the road, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. Who began to shout? The one in need began to shout. And he says, Jesus, son of David, which is kind of a messianic statement, right? A kingly statement. Have mercy on me. He just doesn't say, Jesus, help me out here. He says, Jesus, messianic king, answer to all of our prayer. That's what he's saying. Have mercy on me. Now, ready for this? 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stops. He says, call him. So they called to the blind man. They're like, cheer up, pal. On your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. Now, many of us, we would read right over that, but I'm not going to let us read right over that. He threw his cloak aside. What was his cloak doing? Very likely, as a blind man, you can't see when people give you money. So he laid out his cloak in front so that it could hit and he could just gather it up. Think about that. Otherwise, they're just tossing, he's feeling around, not very efficient. He lays his cloak out, as was the custom, to get the money on. But you know what he did with that cloak when Jesus called him? What'd he do? Threw it aside. You know why? This is what I think. He ain't going to be needing that cloak anymore. He took that cloak and set that baby aside. I don't need this. Some of us are going to come to God today, laying some stuff aside. I'm showing up with that down and that down and that off. When we can unload the things that we can unload, He unloads the things we can't unload. So throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. He came to Jesus. What do you mean to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man says, Rabbi, I want to see. So Jesus simply says, go. Your faith has healed you. And immediately, and that's one of the words that's classic for the book of John, instantaneously, immediately he receives his sight. And he follows Jesus along the road. In this series, these 9 weeks, Brian and Arnick and Bo and I have told story after story. And of course, today I even reiterated the story in Mark 2, where other people bring someone. Let's go to the roof. Let's is a contraction of let us, right? Let us. It's several people. We're taking people. We're moving them along. That's what we're doing. That's not the case here. This miracle in Mark 10 is a bit of a surprise because it's a different way. It doesn't stick with the pattern quite the same. You see, no one took this guy. And the message today is this for somebody. I've been praying about who it is. Somebody. Sometimes you have to go to the roof on your own. Sometimes. Sometimes. We have to go to the roof. On our own. We want to be a church and a people that help others get to Jesus. Absolutely. But sometimes, and this is the reason I read the whole chapter, sometimes we get distracted by our own silly requests. We get distracted by our own little simple, silly priorities. Who's the greatest? I know people have needs, but I need to know who's the greatest. Excuse me, I know there's some people with me. When is divorce okay again? And what? Why can't children come to Jesus? Like, what's going on? What's that about? And what do I have to, Master? What do I have to do to be saved? All the while, that brother already thought he'd done it. Sometimes we have to push through. Sometimes we have to push through people. Sometimes we have to push through the church. Sometimes we have to push through the disciples. You got to push through sometimes. We want to be a church that is not between you and Jesus. We want to be a people that is never between you and Jesus. We never are. And we gather, and as we can help you, we want to. But there are moments when we get sideways. We get looking at the wrong stuff. We miss it. Missing the mark, the Bible has a name for that. It's sin. We sin. We miss it. When those around you rebuke you, tell you to be quiet, you got to push through sometimes. See, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, there's a better way. But those aren't going to save you or free you or heal you or deliver you. Getting to the roof is about getting through barriers that get you to Jesus. Getting through barriers that will keep you sidelined and you push through. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't know how many of you have that spirit, but I pray you'd be baptized with it. That spirit where David was dancing because the ark came back into Jerusalem. And his wife, Michal, sat on the sidelines, which is where most of the commentary comes from. The sidelines. And she's like, oh, aren't you making a public display of yourself? To which he looks up and says, woman, I will dance my clothes off naked in this street. You think this is something? I'm about to kick her up several notches. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. I need you, Lord. You know what? I believe you're here because you need him. I'm here because I need him. This is also my job. And I'm here because I need him. Need him. Anybody else? You need him? You need him. Doesn't mean you don't have him. Doesn't mean you don't have relationship. Doesn't mean you don't have decades of relationship. We still need him, don't we? All these years, cleaned up, looking a little better than we used to. Every day I need him. When it comes to our moment with Jesus, we need to cry all the louder. We need to press through. Again, we want to be a church that facilitates a path for you, makes it easy. When you show up at this altar, we want people on you, with you, next to you, praying with you, journeying right alongside you. See, it's the foundation of all we do and all we will become because it is Christ formed in us. Not all the things we do to act like Christ or be associated with Christ, it's not all the things we do. It is literally having Christ formed in us. I'm not trying to be Christian. I'm not trying to do Christ things. I want Christ formed in me. That's the win. That's the win. And the intentional delay to give that space, to have Christ formed in us like a tree, like fruit, like blossoming. Three things essentially, right? Sometimes it's others that stop us, and sometimes it's us, and of course we have an enemy of our soul. But sometimes it's others that keep us segregated. Others that push you aside. Others that say, you don't fit here. You don't belong here. This isn't your time. It's not time right now. That's what happened here. Bartimaeus gets shushed. I don't know how well you do with shushing. When I'm in a place and I'm pursuing, someone's like, shh. I'm like, what? Excuse me. Did you just shush me? Hush? Okay. If I'm at the movies and I'm talking to my kid and you shush me, okay. I'm pursuing God and you shush me? Can I tell you, you're going to see a side of me maybe you haven't seen? When it comes to this mission, you think Jesus was indignant? When it comes to mission. I was talking to someone yesterday during prayer, and I told her, and I meant it. I said, I will wash your feet right now. I will wash every person in your family's feet. I will sit up front and wash every person in this church's feet. As long as you're willing to hang around and be number 186, I'll wash your feet here. I will serve you because I love you. When it comes to this mission, pushing through, that's not up for discussion. One person asked me years ago, young man, he was in his 20s. We were on the phone from here to Milwaukee, 3 hours. I took the call halfway. I didn't make it to Milwaukee in 3 hours. We were driving up there. I sat in the parking lot of a hotel. 3 hours I'm talking to this young guy about the gospel and ministry and how it's operationalized and what it looks like. This was years ago. Pastoring this church years ago. And at the end of that call, I said, buddy, I got to go. Like, I had an evening preaching assignment. Like, I had to go. I had a service. And he asked me this. He said, can we continue talking about this? And I said, absolutely. And I said, as long as it takes for you to get it. We can talk about it for as long as it takes for you to get it, because it's not changing. It's not going to change. So as long as it takes for you to be able to embrace it, see it, get it, receive it, walk in it, all day. Got all day for that. Sometimes others try to stop this. Whatever the reasons, we have to push through. Sometimes, more often than not, it's ourselves. Right? Think of the woman with the bleeding issue. Remember the woman with the bleeding issue and she pushed through the crowd? I mean, maybe the block was the crowd, right? I mean, seriously, she had to push through people. But I wonder if the block wasn't her own estimation of herself. A woman with a bleeding issue was considered unclean. She wasn't able to be with her husband. She wasn't able to be with people. There was a special area, like a tent that they had to hang out in. Like years, years. And so when I think about this, we have to push past our feelings of shame and our beliefs that we can't approach a holy God without getting right. Has anybody ever had that? Would you barely lift your finger? We have these feelings that we can't approach a holy God. God is holy, absolutely. And we can't approach a holy God without getting right. The only problem with that is I can't get right without the holy God. That's the rub. I can't get right without the holy God. Adam and Eve sinned. That is true. They were separated from the garden. That is true. They were separated from God because of their sin. That is false. That is false. Adam and Eve sinned. That is true. They were separated from the garden. That is true. They were separated from God. That is false. It'd be a pretty short Bible if that was true. Right? Maybe be a pretty short Bible. Think about this. The Bible is not the story of us trying to reconnect with God. The Bible is a story of God trying to reconnect with us, up to and including Jesus Christ becoming flesh. Now, how does that change everything for you? The realization that your brokenness and your sin even, your sin is just looking to the wrong God. That's what's happening. You're just trying to meet your needs from the wrong God. All you got to do is turn to the right God. And that's the call today. Pushing through, finding Jesus. I hope you're hearing this like blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road. And this can be a conversion moment for Christians. It can be a conversion moment for addicts. It can be a conversion moment for a Satanist. I don't care. It can be a conversion moment for every person in this room. When all of a sudden, because of what I'm saying, somewhere in this, you hear Jesus is in the room. And you start reaching out. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you're not held up by what you think of yourself, your self-estimation of you. Hey, you know what? You're ready. You're right. You're right, you're a mess. You're right, so am I. But he says I'm righteous. He says I'm innocent. And because of that connection, do you know what happens? I do begin to change. I begin to change because of that connection with him. Because he's formed in me. Forming. Arnick, come on up, buddy. Sometimes it's others. Really, probably more often than not, it's ourselves. Which is how we step past our shame. Our shame is self-directed resentment, right? Failing is what I do. Shame is who I am. Failing is what I do. But shame is who I am. And so when failure becomes identity, that's shame. And Jesus is here to rid you of shame. There is therefore, you know another word for shame? Condemnation. There is therefore now no shame to those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, that's freedom. That's freedom. And it's the freedom to be able to be together. Love each other and love him and let him love us. You see, if I ask people, do you love Jesus? They'd probably say yes. I'm like, do you think he loves you? I hope you say yes. Recently, I was having a conversation with a wonderful young woman, God seeker, but man, she was struggling. And we were in the office back here. And if you've been back there, there's some couches lined up. She happened to have her back to the boardroom. It's open glass, chalkboard. And I called her and I said, hey, check this out, come here. And so I said, here's the love of God. Line. I said, here's how you feel and when you do right and wrong. Checked line. I said, that's where you are. We know we live in a dotted line, right? Do good, don't do good, miss it, hit it, miss it, hit it, hit it, hit it, miss it, miss it, hit it. That. But the love of God is not contingent on that. The love of God line, solid. Always solid. Always solid. Are you thankful? I'm thankful. This third thing, we have an enemy of our soul. It's the accuser. The accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brothers and sisters. Did you hear about that Brian Stewart guy? Did you hear about that Arnick Schaus guy? We ain't even going to start about Larry Comer. We don't have enough time to talk about Larry. He's called an accuser. He's a slanderer. That's his deal. That's his job. He did it with Job. He hasn't changed since. The scripture calls him an accuser of the brethren. How many of you would like to still that voice? How would you like to shut him up? Shut him up. I got an answer for you. Psalm 8, verse 2. In the New King James Version, it says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. There is ordained strength from the mouth of babes and nursing infants. And it says, because of your enemies, that they may what? Silence. Silence the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. But I want you to read it in the NIV. Let's not read it in the NIV. A little clearer. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies. The words ordained strength have been replaced with the word praise. The ordained strength that God gives us to still the enemy, I mean shut him up, is praise. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And then closing out, Revelation 12, verse 11. You want to triumph over that enemy? The one that accuses you? The one that's always bringing up junk? Always reminding you of your past, that old boy? They triumphed over him how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They triumphed. They stilled him. Blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony. The other day, I was thinking about this, and I thought, what praise do I do when I need a breakthrough? You ready? Can't nobody. That's what I sing. I was walking through Meyer parking lot the other day going, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't no. I didn't have him, only in my heart. Nobody do me like the Lord. Come on now. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. I said he healed my body. Told me to run on. I don't know what the told me to run on thing means, but I sing it anyway. Heal my body, told me to run on. He healed my body. Lifted me up, turned me around, set my feet on solid ground. You get it? Those songs of praise that we can sing. Arnick, what's your song? What do you do?
Sometimes so much trouble. I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night. That's all right. I know Jesus will fix it after a while.
Sing it, buddy, sing it.
Trouble in my way.
Call it out, what
I
it is.
I have to cry sometimes. So much trouble. I had to cry sometimes. Hey, I lay awake at night.
Lay awake at night.
That's all right.
That's all right.
I know that Jesus, oh, he will fix it after a while. And I'll do that.
We just need him in our pocket, don't we? We just need to take it. Hey, what's your song? What's your song? Because sometimes I'm walking around, I'm like, you reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe, over every heart. There's no higher name. And I'm walking around in trial with accusation and hits and dings and bleeding out. There's no higher name, Jesus. You reign above it all. You reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe, over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. What's your song? What's the song you can sing? And it comes out praise. And there is a promise in the Word of God that says there is ordained strength, and it stills, silences the enemy, the foe, the avenger. So what's in your way? I hope it's not us. The disciples were in the way with the kids. I hope it's not us. We're trying our best to get out of your way. And if it's you, real quick, forgive yourself, okay? Got your hands around you, let go of you, and let him fill your hands with him, himself. And if you feel like the enemy's on your tail and chasing you down, let's get a song. Over every heart, there's no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. You reign above it all. You reign above it all, over the universe, over every heart. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Linda, come on up. And you repeat what's true. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, which has already happened, and the word of our testimony. What has He done already? What have you heard Him do? You know Jesus is around, and you know He's touched some people, and you need it today. Just step into it. I want to put you on my back and take you to the roof. But apparently there are times that we have to push through on our own. We're wrapping up this series with that. The offer, the opportunity, the encouragement, the encouragement. Push through. All over this place, Lord Jesus, the situations, the healings that we need, the deliverances that we need, the relationships restored that we need, Jesus. All of this that we need, Jesus. Jesus. All of this that we need. Son of David, have mercy. Son of David, thank you for your mercy. Jesus Almighty, thank you. We know you have dominion. We know you have won the battle. We step into you. Be formed in us. Fill our mind, our heart, our spirit, our soul, our body. Take us all, every one of us, as we walk closer to you, Lord. As we walk closer to you, we push through. We push through. And as a church, if you're in this space, I want you to pray this with me. I come against every block. I come against every hindrance. I come against everything in the name of Jesus that would assault our minds, that would be a wall, a barrier against our minds. By the power of the name of Jesus and the blood that sets us free, remove those, let those be removed so that we can receive you, we can feel you, see you, hear you, know you, be with you. Thank you for being our banner, Jesus, and thank you for being our rear guard. Thank you for holding us up.
If you would just stand as a unit. Andy and I look at you as beloved. It's a privilege for us to serve you and in all the ways that we do. So I just want to speak truth over you. I don't want you to be afraid. So I pray that often over you, sometimes at 2 a.m. You're not afraid. So I speak courage to you. We value a Monday through Saturday church. So this is the icing on the cake. This is like, oh yeah, that's right. Or, oh, it's so good to see you. I get strength from seeing you worship and I love your hugs. And then we're back out in our homes, walking across the hallway to talk to our children. And sitting across from someone having coffee and sitting beside someone at work wanting to speak what is true, wanting to love unconditionally, being filled with God's agape love. So I encourage you, I know we're all a tiny bit sleepy, so before you take your nap or after you take your nap, over lunch and you're processing what you heard, I encourage you also, I don't know if you know, but we have a podcast that we just upload the sermons every Sunday. By 6 o'clock, the sermon is up. And if you're like me, first of all, I love podcasts. But second of all, if I hear something and I want to get it in me, I listen to it over and over and over and over. So if you do not know how to find it, ask somebody around here. We can help you. Christway.net. You can get it on all the ways to get a podcast. And just let the truth soak into you so we can love and we can bring someone to the roof. We can tear the roof down for someone. Or we can come against the enemy of our soul, that accuser of us. or we can just get ourselves there, whatever that is for you. So I bless you with peace. I bless you with courage. I bless you with joy. May you have a delightful Sabbath Sunday and an excellent week. We love you very much, and we'll see you next week. God bless.
I'll never be more loved.